The House and Senate have appointed members to a conference committee on legislation to revamp the Veterans Affairs health care system. And regardless of how Congress ends up changing the structure to address long wait times for patients, the system will need more money for emergencies. That's one request from the American Federation of Government Employees, which represents many frontline VA employees. J. David Cox is the union's president and a former VA nurse. He joins us now. Mr. Cox, great to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me back. Glad to be here.
All right. So let's before we get to the letter that you wrote to Congress, I just want to get your sense of how all of this ongoing debate about VA is affecting the people we haven't heard much from, and that's the frontline people that ingest the patients and look after them.
Clearly, the frontline employees, the schedulers, the nurses, the doctors, they've been out there. They want to care for the veterans. They're very compassionate. They really share the mission of the agency, wanting to get those folks seen and treated. And it's been a difficult situation for them. And they've been carrying the torch and been saying for many years, the problem with the VA is understaffing, not enough resources to accomplish the work.
So perhaps there's a silver lining in that that long-standing concern is now finally being heard by people who can provide more money and get more people hired.
Well, that's true, and we're certainly glad that Congress, the House and the Senate have both voted for an appropriation that did not require to come up with funding that is such that it's an emergency funding that they will hire more personnel. Also, it includes leasing and building more space to care for veterans. There's many things. Sometimes we talk about, oh, let's just hire another doctor, but the doctor does have to have workspace. There has to be support personnel, nurses, clerks, technicians, to be able to assist the physician in treating the veteran.
So you have written to Congress, or AFGE has. Tell us about the letter and what you specifically are calling for.
Well, we are calling for definitely increased funding of the VA, and also that the VA take a serious look at how it does its scheduling processes, and that it involves the frontline employees that AFGE represents. We can tell the VA how to go about fixing some of the problems that they have. Who knows better how to fix the problems than the employees who actually do the work? And we're in agreement with most of the things that Congress is proposing at this point.
Now, a lot of the debate has centered on, and a lot of the questioning on, the falsification of records concerning how long people were waiting to get into the VA to see someone medically. What's your understanding of how that all occurred?
Well, part of that, I think, is a result of performance-based pay systems. Medical center directors, their pay is derived on a performance-based pay system where if they had a waiting list that said that veterans couldn't get in and said they needed more resources to get the veterans seen, then the pay would have been cut of the medical center director. So it created a system where people, you know, had the facade of, no, there is not a waiting list and we're getting everyone seen so that they would be able to meet their quotas to get their pay. That's why AFG takes a very, very strong stance against any performance-based pay system. And I think this is a classic example of why it is so bad and bad for the American people.
And from the fact that we're learning about these long patient wait times all over the nation, not just in Phoenix anymore, it does suggest that VA employees knew what was going on for a long time. What have your members said about that, about the fact that it's not new that patients have been waiting a long time for care at the VA?
Many of our members have raised this issue. It was actually AFGE members that were whistleblowers saying, wait a minute, these veterans are not being seen. We've had several members that have testified before the Congress. Several of them have had retaliation taken against them for their statements before Congress, but each time it was proven to be true what they had said, and that has actually been the instigator in starting to surface this problem and causing for the reaction and the fixing of the problem has been the frontline employees being concerned that the veterans were cared for. Because, again, AFG members, Our major concern is the care of veterans and the mission of the agency.
So it sounds as if there's kind of a vertical problem between management and the frontline employees on, first of all, what it is they need to do to get the job done, and also whether there's really honest communication about what the situation is.
That communication is a very, very key factor. I personally had requested to meet with Secretary Shinseki over 5 times over the last year and a half to discuss great concerns about scheduling and wait list and retaliation of employees. And each time he would send me a letter back stating that on the advice of his labor relations and members that he should not meet with me. And I wish he had have met with me, because I had, you know, I could tell him, I could share those stories. We had many members that was raising this issue, and we've certainly been reaching out to the acting secretary, as reaching out to the White House to meet with us, to discuss the concerns, and to let AFGE members throughout this country help be the solution to resolve many, many of these problems that can be dealt with in fixing problems and work processes, and looking strongly to Congress to give the money and the resources to fix the problems.
We're speaking with J. David Cox. He's president of the American Federation of Government Employees. Now, Acting Secretary Sloan Gibson has been in charge for a couple of weeks now. Have frontline employees seen any difference?
At this point, I think we have gotten word that frontline employees certainly should surface their concern up. I have had 2 meetings scheduled with Acting Secretary Gibson that had to be postponed due to scheduling conflicts on his part, but we look very, very forward to having an in-depth conversation with him concerning the issues and the concerns of the frontline employees. And clearly, the frontline employees are stepping up nationwide, volunteering to schedule extra clinics, do overtime, rearrange schedules, whatever it takes to get these veterans seen and to get them the care that they need.
But Gibson has not said, I can't talk to you because of the labor relations staff says I can't.
He has not said that. No, sir, he has not. It's just twice we've had a meeting scheduled, and his office contacted us and said that due to some scheduling conflicts that they need to reschedule that, and hopefully we will be working again this morning to try to get a time to reschedule that meeting.
And just give us a sense of how many or what percentage roughly of VA employees you represent.
220,000.
And what percentage of the VA? Do you know what offhand?
We represent, there is a little less than 300,000 employees that work for the VA. We represent 220,000, and so there would be the management employees, and some of those we would not represent. We represent probably 90% of all VA employees that are eligible to be represented in the VA.
Now, this whole scheduling issue goes back some years. There's been a series of IG reports and Government Accountability Office reports on it. For some reason, it bubbled up right now. Is this whole controversy something you expected would eventually reach the public at some point?
Yes, sir. We believed it would reach the public because, obviously, again, when you have flawed systems like pay for performance that we had for directors that require you to meet certain impossible standards no matter what, or your pay is greatly affected, it is going to always trigger these type of results. That's why AFG has fought so viciously and has been able to win in those type issues and will continue that fight.
So people should be paid then. What's the basis on which they should be, I guess, not just paid, but got bonuses and promotions, if not for performance?
People should be paid for doing a good job and for telling the truth. We've not had one medical center director in this country that stepped forward and said, I do not have enough resources, enough personnel to get the veterans seen, to meet this waiting time of 14 days or 30 days, whatever it was. Now, that's just simply amazing. Out of all those medical centers nationwide, not one director spoke up and said they didn't have enough resources. But now that the problem has surfaced, Congress and everyone has said the problem is there is not enough personnel and enough resources to accomplish the problem. And had they spoke up and said, if we can't get this done because of resources, then their pay would have been affected, many of them, $30,000 to $40,000 of their pay would have been affected. That, to me, sets itself up for a failure.
But another reason why perhaps they were silent was that Congress, as some are doing now, would be questioning how the money was spent, not just the total amount of money, but whether VA has been wasteful in some respect.
Yes, and you know, there are certain members of Congress that are going to always proclaim that all that they're doing is wasting money at the VA. However, look at the results. The VA is deemed as the best healthcare system in this country. Veterans are lined up at the front door. They want to be treated at the VA because it is the best care in the country. Where else do you find the absolute specialist in PTSD and polytrauma issues, all the various things, traumatic brain issues. The VA is number one in rehabilitation, in geriatrics, long-term care. All American citizens, you know, have great advances in their own health because of the work of the VA and the research at the VA. The pacemaker was developed in the VA and discovered in the VA. All artificial limbs, the research is done there. The VA is the best healthcare system in this country.
Now, the union, indeed, many people agree with you that VA does need this quick emergency infusion of cash to hire new doctors and nurses, but we've heard about a shortage of medical personnel in this country. Can the VA, in fact, ramp up quickly and find enough doctors and nurses to meet its needs?
Yes, it can. There is a supply out there. Many of these positions have been vacant in the VA for years, and they just refuse to recruit for them. But they are out there. But there also does have to be the long-term planning, and that's why we applaud Senator Sanders in his legislation looking 5 and 10 years down the road, encouraging people to go to school to be physicians and nurses and to assist with student loans and things of that nature. If the VA steps forward and does loan forgiveness, they will get tons of doctors and nurses and other qualified healthcare professionals to come to work for them, because look what most people are carrying now in a student loan indebtedness. So VA has many resources to hire to get this personnel.
J. David Cox is president of the American Federation of Government Employees. J. David, thank you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on the show with you.